In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I read something recently from a priest who's probably about my age, and he said it was kind of a eureka moment for him, in which he was talking to someone that was probably 3 decades younger than him. And this person is a believer, but he says that the average person in his generation thinks that Christianity is something evil, something bad, something right-wing, something phobic, something that is just not normal. It's actually mental illness. That's what his generation believes about Christianity. And that's because of multiple factors. Part of it is that the Christianity that they see, it's not the Orthodox Church. What they think of as Christianity is Protestant evangelicalism, which has many dear people that I've known throughout my life, but it also has certain excesses that I think can be exploited by the evil one to make it appear that these people are hateful people. Actually, all the statistics show that people who are more conservative actually give more to charity and all sorts of things like that. But the media onslaught, and by media, I don't just mean what's on TV or what's on the internet or on the radio. I also mean that there's a media onslaught in our schools now and everywhere else, is that Christianity is something strange, archaic, evil, and people believe that. Now, I don't believe it. I wasn't raised in that way. I wasn't raised particularly piously, but I was raised in the culture, there was the idea that you had responsibilities and that there was a certain way to live, and that there were certain things that were just not right. And now, every day, there's another thing that is declared as the new thing that's right, the new strange thing that is right, and if you don't think it's right, then you are somehow some strange kind of dinosaur, some evil person, actually, that is not in tune with humanity. So what are we to do with this? This is happening in our day. If you have your eyes open, you see it happening. You see it happening in our schools, politically, socially. It's happening all the time. Now, what do you do about a person like, I'm 62 years old, and I don't feel old, but sometimes I think I must be because of how the world has changed so much from the time I was a boy. Of course, I think so many evils were still in the world when I was a boy, but there was just a different approach to things. Now the approach is, whatever is, whatever you think, that must be true. How do you deal with this? Especially because Christians don't think that. So therefore, whatever you think must be true, unless you think Christianity, because that can't be true because it contradicts the idea that whatever you think, whatever you are, must be true. How do you deal with this? I've wondered about this a lot, and reading this little essay from this priest made me think about it quite a bit. And then we have this gospel today, which I think ties in very much to this time and very much into what we should do. It's actually not so much what you should say or what you should post on Facebook or in Twitter or something like that. Those things are all going away. People pay attention to those things for a microsecond. And basically, it's the weight of things that really makes them believe things. So if there are 10 million Twitter posts that say crazy theology, crazy morality, and there's 15 that say something that's true, well, they don't hear the truth. So what are you going to do? You can't talk to people and get them to understand. What do? You have to live with the truth in your heart now. And you have to live with more zeal, more effort. I've been trying to do that lately, especially as I've gotten older, and because of lifting heavy weights and such, my hips hurt sometimes and my knees, and I feel creaky in the morning. And I really don't want to get up and do prostrations, but I've started doing them in greater numbers. And I think that there's a certain change that's coming over me. I don't like to do them, I'll be honest with you. I don't like them. I like them in the middle of doing them, but not at the beginning. Not at the beginning at all. And at the end, I feel certain buoyancy from having done them. But in the beginning, I don't want to do them. And I find reasons not to. I'll read the Psalter. I'll do my commemorations. I'll read the Lives of the Saints. I'll make a cup of coffee instead of doing my prostrations. But I think that that's something that I recommend that you do, really. The world is really dark right now. It's dark because we have the capability with technology of bringing the darkness upon everyone. It used to be people had darkness, yes, but it was more isolated. Now it can be right up front and center. People really believe strange things about Christianity. They really associate Christianity with the hard right and with people with guns and people wearing masks and people who do violence. They really do. That's insane. That's not true Christianity at all. That's not even evangelical Christianity. That's a small amount of people that are violent, which is actually a smaller amount of people that are violent than the people that rioted in Portland and other places. But the world doesn't see it that way. And you can't convince them otherwise. But what you can do is you can do your prostrations, and you can have a commemoration list, and you can pray for the world and for people that you know, and also just general categories of people. What about the poor young people that have been told lies from the beginning of their life, and their parents are not really well equipped because their parents aren't very pious? And what are we to do with them? How can we convince them? You can't convince them. But what you can do is you can pray with tears for them, and you can do prostrations for them, and some of them will come around. So it's not a matter of eloquence in your words. It never really was. It's always about if you live according to the gospel, and then you beg God with ever-increasing vehemence and insistence even. Can you imagine being insistent to God? That's what we should be. If you read the lives of the saints, you'll find out. They were insistent. Sometimes they would require God to do something. Really. But they would require God after having done 1,000 prostrations. If we had that kind of faith, then some around us would be saved. So listen to the gospel today. He says, rise up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth near. He was talking about all these terrible things that are happening and will happen. But he says, your redemption is drawing near. Does it look like your redemption is drawing near? In our society, it looks like our society is falling apart. It looks like it's not surprising. It shouldn't be surprising to you if there's a revolution in our country in the near future. It could happen. It absolutely could. I'm not predicting it. And I'm not saying, you know, go out and buy a .22 rifle and a shotgun over under so that you can have go out to the woods. I'm not saying that. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can see that there's something fundamentally fragile about society nowadays. Everywhere in the world. Everywhere. So it doesn't look like our redemption is drawing near. It looks like things are heading into chaos. I heard this to give an example. Sorry to be off track a little bit, perhaps. There was a man who raped someone. And then in prison, he said he was transsexual. And he is being paid, or not he's not being paid, but his surgery to convert, the physical surgery and all of the hormones and everything, it's all very expensive. The state is paying to take this person who raped someone, I think he murdered as well, to become a trans woman. The state is paying for this, and it's seen as a good thing. It's just insanity. The man is a murderer and a rapist. That's what he is. So this is our society. What are we to do? We are to listen to what the Lord says. Behold the fig tree and all the leaves. When it once it puts forth leaves, you see that yourselves that summer is near. Well, summer is a beautiful time, isn't it? Especially a day like today when you think it's cold. I know it's not that cold, but you know, to people in Texas, this seems really cold. And we're going to have some cold weather and some cold rain and maybe some sleet and stuff before we get out of February. The summer seems like a really nice idea, doesn't it? Beautiful, warm, green. You can be outside as much as you want. And the summer is drawing near. The things that are happening is bringing the summer closer to us, which is the kingdom is what he's talking about. So when you see these things coming to pass, he says, know that the kingdom of God is near. Do you know how near the kingdom of God is? Do you know how close it is to you? Well, look at your hands. Look at your feet. Look at your body. The kingdom of heaven is in you. That's how close it is to you. The kingdom of heaven is very near. The problem is we don't live according to the kingdom of heaven. We live in a secular way, and we allow our passions to overtake us. And I think our greatest passion, if we are struggling as Christians, is just a sense of futility. I would say 90%, 95%, 99% of the stuff I do doesn't bear any fruit whatsoever. So that sense of futility can come in. That's a sin. It's a sin. It's not a sin to know that most of the time the things that I do don't bear fruit. It's a sin to not do any more things. It's a sin to have an idea that the next thing I do, it's not going to matter. It does matter. So the Lord says, verily I say to you, in no wise shall this generation pass away until all have taken place. This generation is you and I. I don't mean this time, 2020. I mean the Christian generation, the Christian age is this generation. So it's a long generation. But this generation shall not pass away. The Christian age shall not pass away until everything takes place. Things that are wonderful and things that are terrible and horrible. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall in no wise pass away. So do you like things that are permanent? I do. I think our world doesn't. I mean, our world somehow actually thinks Twitter is useful. I don't understand that because it's so ephemeral, right? But a Christian should want the eternal. You should desire the eternal. We have children in this church right now. Don't we want for them that they grow up to be whole, complete human beings and that they know God and love Him with all their heart? Don't we want that for them? I mean, of course, we want to take care of their dental checkups and all the other things that are important. And we want to keep them healthy in the here and now. But shouldn't we care mostly for their eternal souls that God has entrusted us with? And by the way, the children here, God has entrusted you with as much as your as their parents. Because these children come to church here, you have a responsibility towards them. To pray for them, to help them, maybe sometimes to tell them that they're acting out and they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. You have a responsibility to them. We all have a responsibility to each other. So if we believe the Lord's words, that His words are not going to pass away, that must mean that we should be saying His words if we want to do something permanent. So I beg of you, really, and I know I've been talking about this a lot. I guess I don't know if I'll ever stop, really, because I think definitely our society is taking a turn that is worse and worse. I think actually 5 years from now, it'll be significantly worse. I think a year from now, it'll be significantly worse. And what are we going to do when we are tested? We must be people that believe the words of God, that no matter what is happening to the world, that there are people being saved in the world, and the kingdom of heaven is very near for them, and that we, as Christians, must resist the secularism of the world, not by posting things, not by writing letters, but, and I'm not saying we shouldn't post things or write letters, but I'm saying if that's what you think is going to resist the world, you've got no idea what you're thinking about, what you're doing. But post things if you want, but pray. So I would suggest to you that you would go home and decide, okay, I can actually do 10 prostrations in a day. If you haven't done prostrations for a while, those will be difficult. Then eventually you can get up to 20 and 30 and 70 and 80 and 100 and pray for the world. Pray for your family. Pray for people in crisis. And believe the words. Believe that when you say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon the world, that He hears your prayers. That those words will not pass away. Everything you do in social media will pass away. Everything you do when you're arguing at the proverbial water cooler, that's going to pass away. But what won't pass away is your ardent prayer for the world. I think we are responsible for doing this. And if we don't do this, then we will be very, very surprised at the end of our life, or perhaps even during our life, when we see people fall away, and we wonder, why did they fall away? Well, because we didn't pray. So the words of the Lord, I think, they're hard words, but they're encouraging words. But they're not words for babies, right? They're not words for people who say, I just want a wand to be waved and everything to be cool. That's not going to happen. They're words for people who are willing to struggle and willing to actually get on their knees and pray. So that's my message to you today. It's my message to me every day. I can't say that I always do very well, but I'm doing better, a lot better, and you should do better too. And then God will hear your words, and they will not pass away. May God help us. Amen.